How often do we turn our attention away from the treasures that last for eternity, and we look to our treasures right here in front of us? Some of us have many earthly treasures, and some of us have less. I remember a story about a woman who lived in a van, a little yellow van somewhere in England, and she would move her van from here to there, and it became kind of a nuisance to the neighborhood. You know, the neighborhood, they have a pretty nice neighborhood in England, and all of a sudden there's this yellow van parked in front of your house for 3 or 4 days. She was a little bit off in the mind, you might say, but she knew how to survive. She knew how to go around and collect the things that she needed. She had her home right there in her van. I can remember her little treasures she had lined up on the wall inside the van, little things that you and I may just toss off, but they were treasures to her. And she kept them all of her life. Some of them she had had for years. And I don't remember what it was, but it was a little trinket thing, like a little rubber thing of some kind that she had. And it was just something simple, but it was very, very precious to her. It was her treasure. It was her treasure that she had right there. We all have these precious things that we hold on this path that we call life. But as it was with this woman, in the end, it was just stuff. It's just things. It becomes somebody else's thing. Sometimes they throw it away, sometimes they hang on to it, but it's just stuff. What treasures are closest to your heart? Turn over to the Psalms, if you would, and I'd like you to look at Psalms 135. Turn to 135, and we'll allow me to introduce the message this morning. As we who have been called by God to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, have come to see, we see that all that is in this world will at one day be burned up at the second coming of our Lord. When sin entered the world by the fall of Adam, God cursed the very ground that he walked on, and it's still cursed to this day. There's no change. The nature of men today are the same as the nature of men then. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all be just as wicked could be. By his restraining hand in the world, we don't become chaos. God cursed the very ground that we walk on. Everything will be destroyed in the second coming of our Savior. All that can be seen or not seen will come to nothing. Scripture tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All things must be made anew. God cannot even be where iniquity is. Sin and death must be put away. In heaven, there will be at least two things that are considered treasure. And this book that God has given us to study, speaks of both of them from cover to cover. But the most valuable of all that we see in this book, the most valuable treasure of all, is the Lord Jesus Christ, creator of all things, the God-man. Bill and I have had this conversation before, and some of you may have shared this with you at times. You know, it's always kind of fun to sit back and say, oh, I wonder what heaven's like. Can you fly? You know, is everything in color? There's no black and white. You know, everything be warm? Nope, no air conditioning, maybe? It's kind of, you know, just something to use your mind to toy around with at times. What is heaven like? You know, and of course, Bill and I, we've always kind of wondered, do the Harleys in heaven leak oil like they do here? You have to be a biker to understand that one, I think. If you're not, I'm sorry. We always came around, though, in finishing that playful conversation with this one declaration. Wherever heaven is, or whatever heaven is like, Christ must be in the midst of it. Without Christ, there is no heaven. I can't even imagine. And it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what it is like around it. Whatever that may be, around Him, just being in His presence has got to be the most, it's got to be something we can't even imagine. Perfection. Perfection. Not in the sense of human sense, but in the sense of God's sense. Perfect. Not a flaw. How could any one of us even glimpse that? Not a single flaw. Christ is our all in all, or there is no Christ at all. He is that precious treasure that we must cling to. We are drawn to this treasure by pure love, a love that supersedes everything, everything else that there is, a love that is backed with all the power in heaven and earth, a love that has been there since before the world was ever made. Could you not say that it was a love that the worlds were made for? A love that has been there, I already read that part. A love that has brought Him, brought the Lord Jesus down to earth. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. He was born of a virgin, born with a perfect nature, a holy nature, a nature of His Father, sinless in every way. And He walked perfect, tempted, yes, tempted as even we are, yet without sin was He. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. That's scriptural. That's what the Bible says. He who knew no sin became our substitute. He who knew no sin took all the sins of His people upon Himself, and He carried them away to the grave and He left them there. How many times have you sinned today? Every sin that has come into your mind in the last 5 minutes, God remembers no more. Already. Every sin that we've ever committed, God remembers no more. Already. Every sin that we will commit until the day He takes us out of this world, He remembers no more. He looks at the blood of His Son and He says, "That's what I see when I see John Reeves. I see the blood of my Son, and it's perfect in every way." This is my treasure. This is my treasure in heaven, on earth, and wherever the Lord may put me. Christ, the Lord. When we see ourselves and what we are before a God who is holy, when God has revealed what mankind really is and what we deserve, every one of us, not just the sons of Esau, but even the sons of Jacob. You know, Jacob was the worst of the two sons. Remember all the stuff that he did? Didn't he go to his father and pretend he was his brother to get the blessings? Jacob was not a good guy either. He deserved the wrath of God just as much as Esau did, yet God loved Jacob and hated Esau. For you who couldn't be here for our devotional this morning, I'm telling you something, we've recorded it for you, a poem. Mike Lovelace brought another one of his poems with our devotional this morning, and I just highly recommend you get that and listen to it. What a beautiful poem pointing us to the love of God for His people. This is my treasure in heaven, Christ the Lord. Whatever else there may be, it will pale compared to Him. When we read in His Word and see the different types and the pictures of God's love for His people, we see jewels. We see slivers of silver here and there throughout the Word of God. We see nuggets of gold, diamonds that shine so bright, strewn throughout all of the holy words of God. And what a joy it is to come across a nugget like Ruth and Boaz. And we see the love of God for his people through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, this is the peace that is in my heart." When I read these words, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Not in ourselves, not in what we have done, but in what he has done for us. Oh, what wonderful news to see and hear the mercy and the grace of God for his people. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Or what peace is in my heart when I hear these words from Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Or how about right here in Psalms 135, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." You're a treasure to God. I know, it's hard to believe, huh? If I look in the mirror, I don't see that. You're a treasure to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Creator treasures his people. Imagine that. We, the spiritual Israel, are a chosen, peculiar treasure to God. Wow. He looks upon his people as a treasure. God, the Creator of everything, looks upon the sons of Jacob as his treasure. Throughout these holy words from God, we see a chosen people who by his grace are saved through faith, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by his grace, those who he has loved before the foundation of the world, a people that are sanctified. You've heard that word, sanctified. You know, it means two different things. It means separated, and it means made holy. And in this case, it means both. We were separated from the world in the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross and shed his blood for his people. That separated them from the rest of the world right there. It paid their sin debt in full. As he said from the cross, "It is finished." There's nothing left to do. My people are mine. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It also speaks of a people that are redeemed. Like I just said, when he went to the cross and shed his blood, it covered everything. It is finished. There's no work for us to do. You're not going to earn anything. Go out and do good works, yes. But that's not going to get you saved. Christ is the one who gets us saved. Being in Christ is what makes us saved. His love for his people is what makes us saved. The idea that we are jewels in his eyes is why we are saved. Or how about a people that are justified? This is good news for me. Just mentioned it a minute ago. I look in the mirror and I see a sinful man. Look away. In God's eyes, his people are justified. I like the way Pastor Gene always said that. It's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I'll never sin again. He's paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Christ washed it white as snow. We have been made a treasure unto him by the sacrifice of his Son. Because of our Savior, because he laid down his life and he shed his own blood, we are made perfect in him. I know that's hard to see. I know it's very hard to see. I see my flesh and I know, as Paul wrote, "Oh, wicked man that I am, because I don't do the things I should and I do the things that I shouldn't." And if you don't, if you think you don't, and you think you do all the stuff that you're supposed to do, then you're lying to yourself and you're lying before God. When we stop looking to the flesh, when we stop looking to self and we look to Christ, we can see perfection. We can see the white remnant which is his and it's given unto us to wear. Turn over to the Song of Solomon, just a few pages over to the right. Chapter 4, if you would. In my Bible, it's page 1024. The Song of Solomon, in chapter 4, if you're with me, we have a description of the bride of Christ, the church of God, the people that he has cherished from before all else. Look at verse 1, if you would, with me. Chapter 4, verse 1 of the Song of Solomon. "Behold, thou art fair. Thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast doves. Thou hast doves' eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats and that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing. Wherefore everyone bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like the thread of a scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded with an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers and shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." That's what Christ says to each one of his people. You are fair. There is no spot in you. You're a treasure to the Almighty. Do you see the love that God has for his people? Do you see your worth to him? Again, in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, speaking of his people, speaking of the ones that he calls without spot, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are brethren with Christ. We are co-inheritors of everything that is. You and I have so much trouble here in this world, in this country that we live in, because we don't really know. Some of you may have. Maybe some, it might be some of you who have gone through being completely broke at one time or another. I never have. I've never gone and had to go to a garbage can for my dinner. There are people all over the world who are so broke that that's what they have to do. We have so much, but yet even what we have is nothing compared to what God is going to give us, to the treasures that are in heaven, to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him so freely also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. God has loved his treasure with an eternal love, folks. We may not see ourselves as much of a treasure, but he does. We are the gleam in his eye. How shall he not give us everything? This is why we must turn away from those who claim to be that God loves everybody, because he doesn't. If that were true, and some still go to hell, then the blood of Christ did nothing to save anyone. It was powerless. It was your decision. It was your factor, the factor of your decision that saved you. Your decision, your will, you. Well, Scripture tells us differently. He tells us that we're the treasure of God, and he gave his only begotten Son for us. And he did it perfectly. And God cannot fail. He cannot fail, or he's not God. And he says in his word, Romans 9:16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. Turn over to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you would, the 4th chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 4, if you're with me, beginning at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's our treasure in heaven. The God of all power, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us with an everlasting love as far as the east is from the west. And there's going to come a day, as I began this message, there's going to come a day when the Lord's going to return. You ever thought about what that means? You know, it can mean a couple things. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord, is it not? You know what Scripture says? If God were to take me today, through whatever means, would I not be in the presence of the Lord? Today could be my second coming of Christ. Or it could be for all of us at the same time. Oh, what a day that's going to be. All these things that we think so highly of right here in this world, all the things that glitter and shine and grab our attention, all those things are going to burn up and go away, and God's people are going to look to Christ, and we're going to see the best treasure of all, God Almighty, in the face of his Son, Christ Jesus, my Lord. Would you stand with me, please, and let's turn